The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always reach out to us at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Now, today we're going to be talking about pain relief. Some of the conventional pain relief that people look at, over-the-counter, NSAIDs, injections, steroidal injections. And we're going to talk about the flip side of things, some of the dangers that come along with that. And more importantly, we are going to talk about some natural ways to reduce pain. Now, what really got me thinking about this more recently is I had a patient who had come in, who'd been under care for a little bit and had gone through an exacerbation. And I said, hey, how are you doing? And he said, you know, I'm not really doing well. A lot of my symptoms have returned in the last week or two. So I went to my medical doctor and they sent me out to a neurologist, an orthopedic guy, and they're going to do injections. And I have them scheduled for next week. And I said, my goodness. Okay, well, have they gone through any of the dangers that might come along with those steroid injections? And he said, well, no. And I said, okay, so let me do my job. And my job as a doctor is not to tell you what to do as an adult, but to educate you on both sides of the coin. Let's talk about what are some of the dangers, and then that way you can make an educated decision. And so what I see so often is that, you know, when we walk into the store and we grab one of the common anti-inflammatories, we don't think anything of it, right? You can literally get 10 bottles of them and no one would question you at all. Someone might, you know, checking you out might look at you kind of funny, but, you know, it's not illegal. But, you know, no one has had to tell you some of the damages that come along with just grabbing it. You don't need guidance. You don't need a prescription. So we inevitably think that it's safe. On the flip side of things, we do have this medical procedure where they're injecting, they're doing corticosteroid injections. And so you would assume that if a doctor is advising you of this, then he would go through all of the risks that are associated, right? There's a risk-benefit ratio that comes with whatever you do in life. And what I see more so as a more naturally minded doctor, health practitioner, is that unfortunately, we don't educate people on both sides, the risk and the benefit. We just talk about the benefits. And so the problem when it comes down to that is that you go in blindly, and then if something does happen adversely, there's really like the liability lies on you more than anyone else. Well, sorry, don't know what to tell you, right? We could go through the whole lawsuit and all the things. And, you know, the average person is likely not going to do that. But the problem is that they just didn't educate themselves first and foremost. And that is probably at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. You know, when you look at what we do in our office, one of the biggest things is that we are very, very heavily based on patient education. Because here's why. Here's the big picture of things is that as an adult, the worst decision that you could make is an uneducated one. Personal opinion, right? But the problem is that so often we trust the process with someone that we don't know or we shouldn't. And when adverse things happen, we think, oh, I wish I would have done things differently. But yeah, when we move forward to do it again, you know, or a different type of things, like we're just not educating ourselves. So like, I think the worst thing a doctor can do is if you go into a doctor's office and you say, hey, I have this problem. And the doctor says, here's what you're going to do. Right? Are you an adult? Are you of sound mind? Okay, well then why are you making that decision? Because one person told you their opinion on that? And so that is where I highly disagree. What our goal is, and you can see especially in the beginning processes, our goal is to educate you. I might say, oh, you have back pain. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. But then if you don't know why, what's causing the back pain? Is it arthritis? Is it a bone spur? Do you have a scoliosis? How do you correct that? What does the process look like? You know, if you don't know that and you just follow blindly, and then I ask you, why are you here? What's going on with your spine? And you say, well, I don't know. Dr. Leanne told me. I think that's absurd. I truly think that's absurd. And so our goal is to say, hey, here is exactly what's going on. Here's what is causing your problem. Here's how that problem began, how it occurs. Here is what the solution process looks like, and here's what we think is best recommendations for you. And we go through time, cost, insurance, out of pocket, all of those things. And so it gives you as an adult the opportunity to make the best decision for you, the adult. That is inevitably what we want to see. The worst decision that you could make in an adult is an uneducated one. So what we need to do then is we need to educate at all ends of the spectrum, right? Both sides of the coin, to be able to weigh the risk and the benefit, especially when it comes to thing like NSAID, where you just walk in to your local pharmacy and grab hundreds of them. You could take hundreds of them, or you get these injections and no one showed you what the risk benefit ratio is. So my goal is to educate the other side so that if that is you who is looking at facing or taking those, you can weigh the risk benefit ratio for your health to make that educated decision. But before we talk about that, we've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's health in the news comes from New York Times. Why are we so afraid of fevers? I love this. I was actually really excited about this one. Sometimes I find little gems that I'm like, hey, you've got some stuff that are really right down our alley. So they talk about, under most circumstances, fever is beneficial, reducing the severity of illness and shortening its length. So the many measures that, so this is coming from a journalist lady. They talked about that mostly, one of the things that we put a lot of stock in through, you know, different viral outbreaks are temperature, right? So they take head scanners before they enter buildings. So they went on to say, she asked, curious to know how hot I was on a cold, rainy day. One of the ladies told her that her temperature was 96.2. And so the last time her temperature was taken in a medical setting, it was 97.5. But we've all known that 98.6 degree Fahrenheit is typically, for the longest time, been considered normal body temperature. So they were talking about how there is a... And there was an article that wrote, people's bodies now run cooler than quote unquote normal, even in the Amazon. I was like, that's really interesting. So they go on to speak about how there's no single universal quote unquote normal body temperature for everyone at all times. Rather, body temperatures vary not only from one person to another, but also over the course of the day, lower in the morning, higher in the evening, rising during or after exercise, varying at different times in your menstrual cycle, right? Hormonal differences, and at different ages. And lower for people who are a little bit older. So they went on to talk about how research took hundreds of thousands of temperature readings from people in California and found that 97.5 was the new normal, down about a degree from what German scientists in the mid-1800s studied 25,000 people. So they did find that normal, quote unquote, normal ranged from 97.2 to 99.5. So imagine if you're like a 99.5er and you're just a little warm and you can't get into many buildings now. In reviewing the data from 1862 through 2017, one of the professors from Stanford University School of Medicine found a steady decline in average body temperature of about 0.05 degrees Fahrenheit per decade. She also observed that about 75% of normal temperatures are now below 98.6. See, I thought this was like really, really intriguing. So she was thinking, if my body temperature registers 98.6, would that possibly mean she has a fever? But so they kind of reviewed a fever. So in review, there were two colleagues that went through and showed that under most circumstances, fever is beneficial. We've been talking about this for years. Reducing the severity of illness and shortening its length. Fevers act to mobilize multiple arms on the immune system, a function that is remarkably well conserved across many, many species, both warm-blooded and cold-blooded. They explain, so fevers affect every aspect of the immune system to make it work better. I thought that was interesting. Fevers activate innate immunity. The mobilization of white blood cells, neutrophils that patrol the body for pathogens, and macrophages that gobble them up. Macrophages in return send out an arm that help is needed, promoting adaptive immunity, T and B cells, into action. These cells initiate a specific response to the invader, the production of antibodies days later. Treating a fever can prolong or worsen the illness, said Dr. Paul Offit. Fevers enhance survival. Thus, when you take a medication like acetaminophen, or its generic forms, or ibuprofen to suppress a fever, you're actually working against the inherent protective benefit nature bestowed. So yes, a fever reducer will likely make you feel better, relieving symptoms like headaches, muscle aches, and fatigue. But they emphasize you're not supposed to feel better. You're supposed to stay under the covers, keep warm, and ride out the infection. We have reasons for fevers. So we go on to talk about, and this is one too that, so it's like, why do we fear a fever as much? So I look at this article and all I can think about is how, you know, this is exactly what we've been talking. And they literally reference innate immunity. Innate is that power and potential that your body has that, you know, when you come into contact with a virus or bacteria, your body innately has this this knowledge, this inbred knowledge. You never have to tell your body to do all of those things. And it starts with a fever. But we, through modern medicine, have been taught that a fever is bad. And so the first thing that we do is say, why don't we decrease the fever? When in reality, that is truly one of the worst things that you can do, right? Hydration. A lot of the times people are concerned about febrile seizures with infants, but really those come with dehydration more than they do the temperature of the fever itself. And so this is just when you're looking, you know, the research studies of who's talking about this, the one that we reference for the pediatric population even is one that is medically sound. So it's not like a thought process that I or my colleagues might have. This is literally backed by research. So it's just one, when you get those fevers, it is one that embrace the suck. That's the most that I can have in terms of an immunity, is that when it happens, there are times that there are times and places for fevers. So why do we fear fevers? And the answer is that's because that's what the medical community has taught us. And so they've taught us that, you know, a pill for every ill is what will work. Something aches or hurts, we just put a shot in it and it cures all. When in reality, there are dangers that come to all of those. And we'll talk about what those are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us.
Once in a while, I catch myself. Once in a while, I ask myself, what am I doing? Once in a while, I need your help. But once in a while, I feel like, ooh, I just want to dance and feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, initial exam and consultation, just $25. Now, today, we are talking about some of the damaging effects that come with commonly utilized pain management methods. Now, we're going to start with NSAIDs, over-the-counters. So NSAIDs, so N-S-A-I-D-S, NSAIDs, it's an abbreviation for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. It's a mouthful, though, so we call them NSAIDs. So these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, if you're like, oh, I don't know of any NSAIDs, I don't really take any NSAIDs, common over-the-counter NSAIDs that you'll look at are aspirin compounds. So Bayer, Bufferin, Excedrin, ibuprofen-based. So the more common names would be Motrin or Advil, and naproxen, sodium, also known as Aleve, right? So those are kind of the more common ones that you've heard of. So if you take these or know someone who takes these, Tylenol is a little bit different. Tylenol is acetaminophen. So acetaminophen can ease pain and reduce fevers, but they don't do anything with inflammation. So Tylenol is not necessarily a better one because it can damage your liver and have serious side effects. But again, more so what we're talking about is common over-the-counter NSAIDs. Bayer, Motrin, Advil, Aleve, Excedrin, Bufferin. So let's talk about, I don't remember why I was talking to my husband about this stuff, because as much as he loves me in the practice, I don't know, he doesn't take this stuff. So it is very common, especially for new patients coming into the office, that it says, what makes your symptoms better? What makes your symptoms worse? And so what often makes their symptoms better is NSAIDs. And so it is often that I'll ask them, how often are you taking them? And for how long have you been taking them at this dosage or frequency, or when did you increase? And I am surprised at how many people have been on it long term. And I actually had a couple weeks where I had 4 patients, current and ones that had just started, that talked about some of the irreversible damage that they had done taking these over the counters, thinking, you know, if they weren't safe, then I wouldn't be able to just go in as the average person and buy them. Right? All the dangerous stuff, you have to be prescribed by a doctor. So this can't be that dangerous for me to take long term or without a prescription, because of the fact that they allow whoever, right? You could be what, like 16, I think you don't have to like show your ID to buy some Advil, right? So I was looking to see if I could come up with some more figures about this in total. So, well, it was really interesting. So this actually comes from BJGP, which is British Journal of General Practice. So they go to talk about how preventable adverse drug reactions are responsible for 10% of hospitalizations in older people. NSAIDs, more specifically, are 30% of those hospital admissions, mainly due to bleeding, heart attack, stroke, and renal damage, kidney damage. And oftentimes, too, we think that this is just a long-term problem. This isn't, you know, if I just take it for a couple days, it's not going to be that big of a problem. So from the first day of use, all NSAIDs increase the risk of GI bleed, gastrointestinal bleeding, myocardial infarctions, which are like mini heart attacks, and strokes. From the first day, they increase that risk. So when we say, oh, my back went out again, no worries, I'll just take this for a couple days. Did you know that from the first day you start taking it, it increases your risk of gastrointestinal bleedings, myocardial infarctions, and strokes? The risk of bleeding and cardiovascular events are considerably higher in older individuals of many take medication known to interact with NSAIDs, right? That's another thing. If you're on a medication already, do you know, have you been told, have you investigated, did you look at whether or not those medications have an increased adverse response when you take these over the counters? NSAIDs affect the cardiovascular, GI, renal, and respiratory systems. NSAIDs increase systolic blood pressure by 5 and increase fluid retention, right? So if you have high blood pressure and you're taking these, what is that doing to your health? All NSAIDs double the risk of hospitalization due to heart failure. That was also very interesting. NSAIDs used in patients aged 65 years of age and older more than doubles the risk of acute kidney injury in the next 30 days. Guys, NSAIDs can participate in bronchospasms in 5 to 10% of adults with asthma will have acute deterioration of symptoms after taking NSAIDs. They're also associated with a rise in your HbA1c and type 2 diabetes. So these are ones where it's like, if you walk in and someone said, hi, before you, imagine there was like a person standing in front of the like lines. I forget why I was back in there looking at something a long time back. And I was like, oh my gosh, there are so many different types of, so like there's Tylenol, but then there's like a million different, or, you know, Advil. And that's the other thing too, is that what I see a lot of is people are taking things during the day, but then they're also taking, you know, whatever, like Advil arthritis and Advil PM and all of these things. So they're getting such a high dosage of this and they're taking it for like quote unquote specific reasons. But in reality, it's just, those things never really get rid of your pain. They never really get rid of your pain. They mask the pain until it wears off and then it comes right back. But while it's doing it, it's causing massive amounts more health consequences as well. So certain NSAIDs can actually increase the risk of a gastrointestinal bleed fourfold. GI bleeds while taking NSAIDs are more likely to be fatal, with a mortality of 21%, where in people not taking NSAIDs, it's only 7%. Older people have a higher baseline risk for cardiovascular events, GI bleed, impaired kidney function, all of which further is increased by NSAIDs. So these are ones, same thing too with like when you look at cardiovascular events like stroke, you know, we say, hey, you know, aches and pains are just normal as you age, no big deal, just popping over the counter. Especially there's just this like demographic of people who think, oh yeah, I'm just getting older, I'll take another pill. And then we can't figure out like, oh my goodness, you know, Grandpa Joe just died in his sleep. Oh, why? He had a stroke. Well, Grandpa Joe's been taking all of this anti-inflammatory for his, you know, from his lower back pain or his neck pain or his joint aches and all of these things for how long? And then all of a sudden he's got this cardiovascular event. And well, is it just because Grandpa Joe was so old, or was it because Grandpa Joe has been on NSAIDs forever? And he'll look at, gosh, is your high blood pressure caused from the fact that you're taking all of these NSAIDs? What about that heart attack that you had? And now you've got this gastrointestinal bleed and all of these things. And oh, you know, gosh, Grandpa Joe's just getting old. He's getting up there. When in reality, too, it's not just, you know, Grandpa Joe's 75, Grandpa Joe's 80. How long has he been taking it for? How many a day has he been taking it? Right? It always blows my mind when the look in people's faces when I give the analogy of, hey, if I gave you a whole bottle of Advil or to take it once, you know, you take your 200, 250 out of the bottle, what happens to you? Well, you die. But what if you just take two or three a day every day until the bottle runs out? You know, does it make it better that it takes you 6 months to get through the bottle instead of 6 weeks? You know, we just lessen and diminish it because we can't necessarily, there's not a tangible until we have that myocardial infarct or that stroke that we can say, oh, and then how many times do we actually trace it back as practitioners to the fact that you've been on this NSAID for how long? You know, again, we just lessen and we water down how damaging these things are to our bodies because, hey, it makes us feel better for a couple hours. Right? I can do those things. I can push through. When in reality, again, it does nothing to causation. I just tell people when they come into the office, if you want the quick fix, go get an NSAID. Right? It costs you, I don't know, whatever bottle cost. And it's going to be really quick and effective for a couple hours. But the problem is in the long term, not only are you not getting rid of the cause of the problem, you are currently creating other health problems that are now not reversible. Right? If you have a stroke and you can't walk afterwards, that doesn't mean anything for your back pain. So why didn't you get it taken care of when you started having aches and pains in your 20s? Because you didn't think it was a big deal and you thought you could push through. Guys, stop looking at your health as something that is tangible. You could just get rid of, you could just cover up. It's not true. You know, it's so unfortunate to see these people whose bodies they've not cared for because they didn't want to put in the time. They didn't want to put in the money, right? Because it took time and it took money. And now we're at the point where they would give any time and any amount of money to get their health back. Why do we wait until that point? And unfortunately, when we continue to keep doing the NSAIDs, it doesn't get down to the cause of the problem. So the arthritis, the degeneration, the pain gets worse. And they say, you know what? Next step is we want to do injections, which again come with their own set of risk. And we'll talk about what those are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne. So I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Been on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting to smile, eh? Been holding it in for a while, eh? Take you with me if I can. Been dreaming of this since a child.
Knowledge is power, and power equals action. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. To schedule an appointment, initial exam and consultation is just $25. And here's what that looks like, too, because people always wonder, your initial appointment, we will sit down, go through a health history individually with a doctor so then that we can figure out what's going on, what has been effective, what hasn't been effective. We can figure out kind of where you're at. What are your health goals? And then from there, we figure what the next course of care is. Do I have to take x-rays? Is that additional testing? We go through cost for what that additional would be at that time. Most of the time, individuals will wonder what their insurance covers. You can bring in your insurance on your first visit. That way, in the meantime, we can get checked and verified to see what it covers. And then we sit down and come up with a plan. So we say, okay, here's what's going on with you. Here's what we think. Insurance, time, cost, out of pocket, whole nine yards, right? So then you can make an educated decision for the health of you and your family. Now, today we're talking about some of the risk benefits that come with standard medical procedures in terms of back pain. And we see this a lot, right? Because we are chiropractors, and though we are whole body wellness, it is not uncommon for individuals to come to us with back pain. And so here's the path that I usually see for the average individual. You have back pain. You go to see your medical doctor. Your medical doctor says, okay, so let's try some over-the-counter. We'll do some stretching and strengthening. Let's try PT. And they go through the PT, and it might get a little bit better for a bit of time, right, while you're in PT, but then you stop doing PT and you feel like you regress back. So you go back to the doctor. The doctor refers you to a specialist. The specialist then says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We can do injections. And all the while you think, like, what's causing this? Like, no one, for example, the patient that got me started on this whole thing, you know, he was like, I said, when did this start? And he said, you know, a week or two ago. And he was like, yeah, I just got an MRI. And so when I asked him, like, what did the MRI say? You know, did your doctor sit down and actually go through and show you what was going on? And he said, well, no. He just said, next step is that I need a steroid injection. I said, okay, so when do you have that? And he was like, in a couple of days. And I was like, do they go through any of the risks that come along with those injections? And he said, no. I said, perfect. Well, why don't we touch base so that you can make an educated decision? And so this is actually a research study that has come. It's the risk of epidural and transforaminal steroid injections in the spine. And so this comes from the Surgical Journal of Neurology International, published in 2013. So doctors can't say, well, this is new. Yeah, that's what it is. Surgical Neurology International, published in 2013. So this is one, as a doctor, you should know if you're doing these, you need to go through what are all the risks. So a couple different things. One is that most epidural and transforaminal injections are not approved for the FDA, but they're being, right? So they're not approved by the FDA. So what does that mean? That means that they are typically, the injections that are being given are given for intramuscular injections. So they have been approved by the FDA to use for muscles. But the problem is, it's just like anything. Oh, we have this new drug came out for, you know, seizures, say. Say, but what we found is that, man, and the drug reps are typically who tell the doctor this, you know, but what we found too is that used off-label, it has been really, really phenomenal for migraines, right? And so a doctor says, hey, this isn't actually for migraines, but it's for seizures, but off-label, they found that it helps with migraines. And so the FDA has granted the ability for doctors to use drugs off-label, not what they're actually approved for or studied for. And so most doctors who are doing this will not say, hi, we are using this off-label. But multiple spinal injections, whether they be transdural, translaminal, transforaminal, facet injections, which are all different types of the spine, they say it's, hey, we're going to manage this case more conservatively. Okay, that's what conservative is. That's where I beg to differ. They are typically short-acting and ineffective for longer term while exposing patients to major risks and complications. I'm literally reading this from the journal. So for patients with spinal pain alone and no surgical lesions, the quote-unquote success of epidural injections may simply reflect the self-limited course of the disease. So they'll typically undergo injections administered in series of three. But here are the results that multiple reports cite that one, not only can the injections for them be contaminated. So any contamination that you would do normally, your body would fight through the process of infection. But the problem when you're actually going into the spine, the epidural cavity, you're injecting it there, the result ends up being meningitis, stroke, paralysis, and death. So the CDC specifically identified 25 deaths, 337 patients that were sickened, and 14,000 exposed to contaminated steroids. Nevertheless, many of the patients developed other complications that go unreported. So besides that, other life-threatening infections, right? Spinal fluid leaks is another damaging effect. Positional headaches. Adhesive arachnoiditis. So it's basically where the anchoring tissue kind of like coils and like almost spasms, if you will. It's not an actual spasm because it's a muscle, but like contracts. Hydrocephalus, which is swelling of the brain. Air embolism, which air embolism that travels can become deadly. Urinary retention, allergic reaction, intravascular injection, stroke, blindness, neurological deficits, which are also paralysis, hematomas, seizures, and death. Just to name a few. And so the conclusion of this research article published in Surgical Neurology International said, although the benefits of epidural steroid injections may include transient pain relief for those with or without surgical disease, the multitude of risk attributed to these injections outweigh the benefits. Let me break that down for you, right? So although the benefits of these injections may include transient, i.e. short-term pain relief for those with or without surgical disease, the multitude of risks, right? The risk that are paralysis, the risks that are strokes, seizures, death, blindness, the risks outweigh the benefits. Their conclusion, not mine. So my question is always then at that point, have those risks been addressed? If you have research study that says there are massive risks that come along with those, were you informed about the risk before you got that injection? Or did the doctor say, we just think this is what's best for you? But this is one too where you really look at and you say, hey doc, how long is this going to last? And they say, well, I mean, it could last up, you know, could be 2 months, it could be 2 years, right? We never really know how much quote unquote relief it'll give you. Why? Because it's not getting to the cause. If there's pressure or damage on those nerves, what they do is they say, hey, we're going to inject these, right? We're going to inject them and hope that they feel better. But no one's really addressing the underlying causation. Is it because you have a curvature? Is it because you have rotation? Is it because you have a loss of curve in your neck? Is it because you have bone spurring? Is it because you have loss of disc height? You have the process of osteoarthritis, right? Like, what is causing the problem? And that inevitably is what's problematic about that, why they said, hey, the transient relief from these is not worth the multitude of risks that come with these injections. But the problem is that when we go through and these injections are being performed at an increasing rate, they say, hey, just come in, sign on the line. All right, there's some risks, benefits, but no one walks you through that. That's a big deal. Right? That's a huge deal that comes along with this. Short acting and ineffective over the long term while exposing patients to major risks and complications. Their verbiage, not mine. So what are some alternatives, right? So what can you do? And obviously this is truly where we look at chiropractic, right? You're doing this because of pain, but no one's addressed or educated you about why that pain is there. And if you can look at getting to the cause, specifically what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is we are highly educated And our doctors are trained in advanced certifications in terms of spinal correction. It is different. It's what 2% of chiropractors in the world do, but it's literally looking at getting to causation. We work and specialize with arthritic degenerative changes. It's one of the things that we specialize in, stop degeneration and reverse aging in the spine. That's what we do. And has a doctor ever sat down and explained to you, here's where your bone is, here's where the disc is, here's where the exiting nerve, this is what's causing your problem, this is how arthritis happens, this is how you reverse it. And if the doctor that you're seeing for your spine has not sat down and explained that to him, there I truly feel that they are doing you a disservice. Because you don't know what you're looking at. And so literally when you're talking about something like how an MRI scan shows that adjustments, chiropractic adjustments, not only do they decrease pain, but they actually change your brain chemistry. So this actually comes from a 2019 study done from the Irish Journal of Medical Science. And the article is the effects of spinal manipulation or adjustments on brain neurometabolites and chronic non-specific lower back pain, right? Like my back hurts. My lower back hurts a lot. Chronic, all the time, non-specific, right? Doesn't radiate, just like some chronic lower back pain. So the study showed that lower back pain sufferers who engaged in chiropractic adjustments experienced a significant reduction in pain. MRI findings also revealed that the same subjects experienced improved brain chemistry levels. So researchers split a group of lower back pain sufferers in half and evaluated the benefits of chiropractic adjustment compared to the placebo. So basically, one got adjusted and the other got like fake adjustments to ensure that the control and the variable groups remained unaware of who belonged to each group. The placebo adjustment ultimately experienced no significant change. So results from the research also showed significant improvement in brain metabolites for the group who received chiropractic adjustments. So the results of the study determined that patients suffering from chronic lower back pain who engaged in consecutive weeks of chiropractic adjustments experienced significant relief from pain and functional disability. Again, so not only did they say, wow, my back feels a whole lot better, they also said, hi, my brain is actually sending out all of these positive signals, allowing for even more pain relief. And so this is where you look at chiropractic care. And this is what I told the patient, because after he read over that article, he said, I don't want to get injections. And I'm like, okay, well, then this is where we reevaluate. We kind of had you on a more maintenance plan. We might have to see you a little bit more. You're more acute. Let's look at reevaluating your adjusting styles, all of your home care, and let's go from there. Because here's the thing too. Just because you don't get it now doesn't mean that you can't get it later if that's what you desire. But if it has irreparable permanent damage, why wouldn't you try something conservative first? Why? Right? So from a pain relief standpoint, of course, something safe and effective like corrective chiropractic care is one of the best things that you have the ability to start with. Right? You can do a lot of topical stuff. You know, there's always a menthol oil that you can rub on, lavender oil, capsaicin. Right, which is like the chili peppers have been known for pain relief. So you can do like even topical creams or patches for pain management. But that's, you know, turmeric's one that, you know, if people have general aches and pains, curcumin is really what we focus on a little bit more. A small scale study in 2014 found that curcumin extract is as effective as ibuprofen for pain management and treatment of knee osteoarthritis when a person takes it for 4 weeks. Because it's good at reducing inflammation, right? So these are like natural anti-inflammatories. So turmeric is a natural anti-inflammatory. Ginger is a natural anti-inflammatory. Cloves, natural anti-inflammatory. That's why they use clove gel for benzocaine gel, like a topical gel that dentists use to reduce the pain of needles. Interesting, right? So there's all of these palliative things you can do that is topical, but again, if you stop taking them, what is still there? And that's inevitably when you look at, this is where you have to start getting to the cause of your problem. And that's really what we truly desire to do, at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Appreciate your time tuning in. I look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.